All right, welcome everyone. Today we're going to be diving deep into something pretty wild, the AI arms race, specifically between the US and China.
Buckle up.
Yeah, and you guys sent us some seriously fascinating sources for this one.
In Korean, no less.
Right, all in Korean. So we had our amazing team translate them, and let me tell you, there's some really juicy stuff in here.
You've got, what is it, excerpts from a book chapter by a prominent Chinese AI researcher, right?
Yep, and a bunch of policy documents straight from the Chinese government.
Oh, and we can't forget that analysis of DeepSeek.
Yeah, DeepSeek, that new AI model that's been making waves. Everyone's talking about it.
Seems to be punching way above its weight.
So yeah, today we're going to break down exactly where each country stands in this AI showdown, like what their strengths are, where they're butting heads, and what's really at stake here.
It's not just about who have the best algorithms or the fastest computers. It's about whose vision of the future is going to win out.
Okay, so let's start with the basics. We've got these two AI giants, the US and China, each with their own unique advantages, right? Kind of like two heavyweight boxers squaring off.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. So you've got the US, they've got this incredible history of research, decades of it.
And Silicon Valley, right? Pumping out new tech companies faster than you can keep up with.
Right, fueled by venture capital, this constant churn of innovation, and they've got this amazing pool of talent.
Yeah, some of the brightest minds in the world are working on AI in the US. But I got to ask, are they getting complacent? Like, have they been on top for so long that they're not hungry anymore?
That's the question, isn't it? It's like, have they become the aging champion who's maybe lost a step?
And then you've got China, the up-and-comer, the challenger.
Yeah, coming in hot. China's advantage is, well, first it's the government, right? They're all in on AI, pouring resources into it like it's nobody's
It's
business.
a national priority for them.
Absolutely. And then there's the data, right? They have access to a mind-boggling amount of data.
Yeah, with their population and everyone using digital services like WeChat and Alipay all the time. I mean, it's a data goldmine.
Exactly. And they're really good at turning that research, all that data, into practical applications.
Yeah, they're partnering with companies rolling out AI and everything from facial recognition to self-driving cars. They're moving fast.
Speed is definitely their game.
Speaking of moving fast, one stat that really jumped out at me from that book chapter was about patents. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah, the patent numbers.
China has been filing a ton of AI patents. In fact, they now hold over half of all the global AI patents filed between 2013 and 2022.
Half.
Half. But is that really a sign of true innovation, or are they just like playing a numbers game?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, right? Like, are these patents actually leading to groundbreaking technologies, or is it more about, just claiming territory? It's hard to say for sure, but it definitely shows they're serious about AI. They're in it to win it.
And it's not like the US is just like sitting back and watching this happen, right? I mean, some of these sources, especially the policy documents, they detail some pretty aggressive moves by the US to like counter China's rise.
Oh, yeah, they're not taking this lying down. It's gone way beyond just competition at this point. It's almost like they're trying to actively contain China's AI development.
Like hold it back.
Yeah, exactly. And they're doing it in some pretty drastic ways. For example, they've banned the export of these high-performance chips, like the NVIDIA A100s. Those are basically the gold standard for AI development right now.
It's like the engine of a lot of these AI systems.
Right, the brains of the operation.
Yeah.
So cutting China off from those chips, it's like cutting off their oxygen supply. It's a major blow.
Wow, that's a pretty big deal.
And it doesn't stop there. They've even gone after the equipment needed to manufacture those chips, the machines that actually make the A100s.
So they're not just like blocking the chips themselves, they're trying to prevent China from making their own.
Exactly. It's like a two-pronged attack,
Yeah.
Cut them off from the supply and then make sure they can't build their own supply.
So how's China responding to all of this? Are they like waving the white flag or are they pushing back?
Oh, they're definitely pushing back. And they're doing it on multiple fronts. First, they're doubling down on domestic chip production. They're pouring billions of dollars into research and development, trying to create their own, made in China version of these high-end chips.
So it's like a tech independence movement.
Yeah, exactly. They want to be self-sufficient, not reliant on the U.S. or anyone else for this crucial technology. And second, they're going after talent, like big time.
Stealing Silicon Valley's secrets.
Not stealing necessarily, but definitely luring them over. They're offering huge salaries, leadership positions, research funding, all the bells and whistles to try to attract top AI researchers, both Chinese nationals who are working abroad and even foreign experts.
Wow. So it's like a reverse brain drain?
Yeah, exactly. They're trying to build their own AI dream team. And the third thing they're doing is focusing on education. They're investing heavily in AI education, starting all the way down in, like, primary school. It's pretty wild.
So they're trying to cultivate a whole generation of, like, AI whiz kids.
Exactly. They're playing the long game, thinking decades ahead.
There was this one detail from one of the policy documents that really caught my eye. It said that China is now restricting the export of certain minerals, like gallium and germanium, which are essential for making chips.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And it just struck me as like, oh, so now they're playing hardball too, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like they're giving the U.S. a taste of their own medicine.
Yeah, it's a power move for sure. Like, hey, we've got some leverage here too, and we're not afraid to use it.
It's getting pretty intense. And then on top of all this, we've got this wild card that's emerged, DeepSeek, this Chinese AI model that's been like crushing it in benchmark tests. And they developed it in like 2 months on a shoestring budget.
I know. It's crazy, right? It's like David versus Goliath, except David is winning.
So how are they doing it? Like, what's the secret sauce?
Well, on the technical side, they're doing some really clever things. Like, imagine an AI that can, like, read ahead. Like, it can predict multiple words at once. So it's not just processing language word by word. It's understanding the whole context.
Whoa, that's wild.
Yeah. And they're using some very innovative memory management techniques, which is why they can run this model on, like, relatively modest hardware.
So it's efficient, but it's also really smart.
Exactly. But there is a bit of a controversy swirling around DeepSeek. Some people are accusing them of data stealing.
Data stealing. What does that even mean?
Basically, some experts are saying that DeepSeek's rapid progress is partly due to its, let's say, aggressive data collection practices. They're gathering a ton of data, not just basic user information, but things like keystroke patterns.
Keystroke patterns. Okay, now that is getting a little creepy.
Yeah, it's raising some eyebrows. And all that data is flowing back to servers in China, which has some people worried about potential misuse, especially given China's national security laws, which are, you know, pretty different from what we're used to in the West.
So it's like, even if they're not technically stealing data, it's still raising some serious questions about, like, privacy and where that information is going.
Definitely. And this goes back to that bigger question we were talking about earlier, right? It's not just about who has the best technology. It's about whose values are going to shape the future of AI.
Okay, yeah, this is getting deep. So listeners, we want to hear from you. Does this make you think twice about using, you know, seemingly free AI tools? Where do you draw the line between convenience and privacy? Hit us up on social media and let us know what you think. We'll be right back after a short break. Welcome back to our deep dive. We were just talking about how this AI race between the U.S. and China isn't just about, like, who's got the fastest processors or the coolest algorithms.
Right. It's bigger than that. It's almost philosophical. Yeah, it really is. It's about, like, whose vision of the future will ultimately win out. You know, will AI be developed in a way that that promotes freedom and democracy and all that? Or will it be used to, like, control people and restricts their freedoms?
Yeah, that's a pretty stark choice. And we're already seeing those different philosophies playing out in the real world, right?
Oh, absolutely. Like, take DeepSeek, for example. Mm. All that data they're collecting, even down to, like, keystroke patterns and sending it back to China, that raises some serious red flags for me. It makes you wonder what they're really planning to do with all that information.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy. And it's not just DeepSeek, right? It's kind of a bigger pattern with Chinese companies.
Right, exactly. You know, we've been reading through these policy documents, and it's clear that China's national security laws, they give the government a lot of power to access data held by companies. Basically, any data that a Chinese company collects, including AI data, could potentially end up in the hands of the government.
So are we talking about, like, AI being used to monitor citizens, control what information they see, maybe even, like, predict and prevent any kind of dissent. I mean, that's some serious Orwellian stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely a chilling thought. And unfortunately, it's not just a hypothetical. We've seen reports about how China's been using AI-powered facial recognition to like track and target ethnic minorities, especially in Xinjiang. And there's even talk of them using AI to develop this social credit system that scores people based on their behavior. It's kind of scary, honestly.
Yeah, it sounds like something straight out of a Black Mirror episode.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that AI is just a tool. And like any tool, it can be used for good or for bad, right? The question is, who gets to decide how it's used?
Exactly. And that brings us back to that core question of values, right? Like, what ethical framework will guide the development of AI? Will it be a framework that prioritizes things like individual rights and freedoms? Or will it prioritize, you know, state control and social order? That's the big question hanging over all of this.
So where does the U.S. fit into all of this? From what we've seen, they seem to be more focused on the ethical side of AI, at least in theory.
Yeah, that's generally true. You know, before the Trump administration came in, the Biden administration had issued a bunch of executive orders and guidelines promoting what they called responsible AI. They're really emphasizing things like, you know, transparency, fairness, accountability in AI systems, basically trying to put some guardrails in place to make sure that AI development didn't veer off into some really dangerous territory.
Right. Trying to steer it in the right direction. But yeah. There's often a gap between rhetoric and reality, right? Even in the U.S., we've seen concerns about like bias in algorithms, AI being used in law enforcement in ways that are kind of questionable.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the U.S. definitely has its own share of ethical challenges when it comes to AI. And it's interesting, the sources point out how the Trump administration, they actually rolled back a lot of regulations that were intended to address some of these very concerns.
So are they saying that Trump actually made things worse?
Well, not explicitly, but they do suggest that that by prioritizing speed and innovation over caution and oversight, he may have inadvertently created an environment where some of those ethical concerns, they could slip through the cracks. It's like they were so focused on winning the race that they weren't paying enough attention to the rules of the road.
Right, right. So both countries are facing their own dilemmas.
Yeah.
But it does feel like the stakes are even higher in China, you know, given their government's history of control and surveillance. If they have access to all this data and the power to use AI for those purposes, it's a pretty scary scenario.
I would agree with that. And it's not just about domestic concerns, right? This competition is playing out on a global stage as well.
What do you mean?
Well, both the U.S. and China, they're vying for influence in international organizations that are, you know, setting standards for AI development and use. They're also competing to provide AI technology and infrastructure to other countries. Think of it as like a soft power race in the world of AI.
So whoever sets the rules and controls the technology, they have a huge advantage in shaping the future of AI globally. It's almost like the AI equivalent of the space race back in the Cold War.
Exactly. And that has implications for everything, right? From economic development and national security to human rights and global governance. It's not just about, you know, who builds the best AI. It's about whose values will be embedded in the AI systems that are shaping the world.
Wow, that's a lot to process. It's almost like AI is this mirror reflecting back our own values and fears, you know. But amidst all this competition, is there any room for collaboration? Can the U.S. and China find some common ground on AI? Or are we just headed for a full-blown AI arms race?
That's the million-dollar question. The sources do suggest that there might be some areas where cooperation is possible, even amidst all this tension.
Like what?
Well, for example, both countries, they have a vested interest in preventing AI from being used for malicious purposes, right? Like developing autonomous weapons that could operate without any human control. Nobody wants to see a future where AI is making life or death decisions on the battlefield.
Yeah, that's nightmare fuel right there. A world ruled by killer robots is not exactly a happy ending.
Exactly. So there might be some room for dialogue and cooperation on issues like AI safety and security, where both countries, they share a common interest. But it's going to require a lot of trust and goodwill, which unfortunately is kind of in short supply right now.
Especially given all the other tensions between the U.S. and China, right? The trade war, the military buildup in the South China Sea, the the whole Taiwan situation. I mean, it's hard to imagine them sitting down and having a productive conversation about AI when they're basically at each other's throats on so many other issues.
Yeah, it's true. It's almost like the AI competition is both a reflection of these broader geopolitical tensions and a potential driver of a future conflict. It's like a feedback loop that could escalate pretty quickly.
So it feels like AI is kind of microcosm of the whole U.S.-China relationship, right? This complex mix of competition and cooperation, and always that potential for conflict lurking in the background. It's like a high-stakes game of chess where every move has global implications.
That's a great analogy, and it reminds us that the future of AI isn't just about technological advancements, right? It's about the choices we make, the values we prioritize, and the relationships we build. It's about shaping a future where AI is used to benefit humanity, not to divide or destroy us.
Well said. So, listeners, as we wrap up part two of this deep dive, we've explored the ethical dilemmas of AI, the potential for conflict, and the global implications of this rivalry.
But there's one more crucial aspect we need to examine, and that's the economic impact of this AI race.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because this isn't just about philosophical debates or geopolitical posturing. It's about who's going to control the industries of the future. Who's going to create the jobs, and ultimately, who's going to reap the economic benefits of AI dominance?
Exactly. And that's what we'll be diving into in part three of our deep dive.
All right, welcome back to the final part of our deep dive. We've covered a lot of ground, you know, the geopolitics, the ethical dilemmas.
Philosophical undercurrents.
Yeah, exactly. But now it's time to get down to brass tacks and talk about the economic battleground of this AI race, because this isn't just some abstract competition, right? This is about who's going to control the industries of the future, who's going to create the jobs, who's going to, you know, basically have the economic upper hand in the coming decades.
Absolutely. This is where the rubber really hits the road, right? And when we look at the economic landscape, we have to start with the current champ, the
Yeah.
US. They've been the economic powerhouse for generations now, with Silicon Valley at the heart of it all. But the question is, can they hold on to that lead in the age of AI?
Yeah, I mean they've definitely got some advantages, right? All
Yeah.
those top universities, a culture of entrepreneurship, venture capital just pouring into new tech companies.
Yeah.
But are they getting complacent? Like, is the US becoming the aging boxer who's maybe lost a step?
Well, there are definitely some warning signs. One concern that comes up in the sources is this idea that the U.S. might be becoming too reliant on a handful of giant tech companies. You know, the Googles, the Microsofts, the Amazons of the world. They're gobbling up startups. They're accumulating vast amounts of data, and they're even, you know, wielding a lot of influence over government policy.
So are you saying that their size, their success could actually be a weakness?
It's a double-edged sword, right? On the one hand, these companies have the resources to invest heavily in AI research and development. But on the other hand, they can also stifle competition and innovation. If they control the market, they have less incentive to take risks, to push the boundaries.
Right. And we've also got to think about the broader economic context, right? Like the rising cost of living in the US, the widening wealth gap. Does that make it harder to attract and keep the best talent? Especially when China's, you know, offering all sorts of incentives to lure people over there.
That's a really important point. It's not just about offering the highest salaries. It's about creating an environment where people feel valued, where they feel supported, where they can actually afford to live and work.
So how is China trying to win over those top minds? What are they doing to build up their AI talent pool?
Well, first and foremost, they're investing heavily in AI research and development, and they're not just throwing money at the problem. They're being strategic about it. They're offering generous grants, tax breaks, direct subsidies to companies and universities that are working on AI. They're playing to win.
It's like they've studied the playbook and they're executing their game plan flawlessly. What else do they have going for them?
Well, for one thing, China has this massive manufacturing base, right? So they have a huge advantage in producing the hardware that's needed for AI, things like chips and servers. They can scale up production really quickly and efficiently, which is crucial in a fast-moving industry like this.
And then there's the data, right? I mean, China's got a population of over 1.4 billion people, and more of their lives are moving online. That's a treasure trove of data that can be used to train and improve AI algorithms.
Yeah, it's like they have this endless supply of fuel for the AI engine, and they're also investing heavily in the infrastructure that's needed to support all of this, right? Things like 5G networks, high-speed internet, all that. They're really building a foundation for AI dominance in the long term.
Okay, so it sounds like China has a lot of things going for them. Is it game over for the US? Are they just destined to lose this economic race?
Not necessarily. It's definitely not a foregone conclusion. There are some potential vulnerabilities in China's approach. One thing is that they're still pretty reliant on foreign technology, especially when it comes to those high-end chips that we talked about earlier. You know, the U.S. export restrictions are really hurting them, and it's not clear how quickly they can close that gap.
So those sanctions, they're actually having a real impact.
Yeah, they're definitely slowing down China's progress in some key areas. Another potential weakness is their top-down government-led approach to innovation. While that can be effective in mobilizing resources and driving, you know, short-term gains, it could also stifle the kind of creativity and risk-taking that often leads to breakthroughs. You know, in the US, a lot of those groundbreaking innovations, they come from startups, from independent researchers who are free to experiment, to challenge the status quo.
So it's like if you're always playing by the rules, you might miss out on those happy accidents, those unexpected discoveries.
Exactly. And that's something that China's going to have to grapple with as they continue to develop their AI ecosystem.
So it's not a clear-cut victory for either side. It's more like a marathon, right? Where both countries are going to have to adapt, they're going to have to adjust their strategies along the way.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And the economic impact of this race is going to be felt far beyond the borders of the US and China. You know, the development and adoption of AI is going to transform industries. It's going to create new jobs. It's going to disrupt existing ones on a global scale. This isn't just about two countries competing. This is about a technological revolution that's going to impact everyone on the planet.
So what does all this mean for the listener, for the average person who's, you know, not a tech expert, not a government policy wonk? How's this AI race going to affect their lives?
Well, I think the most important thing is to understand that the skills and the knowledge that you acquire today, they're going to be absolutely critical for navigating the economy of the future. Jobs that require, you know, creativity, critical thinking, problem solving, emotional intelligence, those are going to be in high demand because those are the skills that AI can't easily replicate.
So it's not just about like learning to code or becoming a data scientist.
Right. It's about developing those uniquely human skills that complement and enhance AI rather than trying to compete with it. It's about being adaptable. It's about being a lifelong learner. And it's about, you know, being able to connect with other human beings on an emotional level. Those are the skills that are gonna set you apart in an increasingly automated world.
I like that. It's not humans versus machines. It's humans and machines working together. And I think that's a good note to end on. This AI race, it's complex, it's challenging, but it's also incredibly exciting. And the choices we make today, they're going to shape the world of tomorrow.
Absolutely. The future is being written right now. So stay informed, stay engaged, and most importantly, keep asking questions.
That's all for this deep dive. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.